some of the stars through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller. Everybody, welcome back to Rated G Radio. We've got a fantastic show for you tonight. We've got Trucker Patty Spangler returning to the show in just a couple of minutes. But before I bring Patty on, I've got a couple of things I want to do, shout-outs and thanks and awareness and that type of stuff to people, places, and things over the last couple of days. Yesterday, Monday, we did not have a show here on Rated G Radio, and you'll ask, why, oh, why did you deprive us of an hour of fun conversation with interesting people, places, and things? Well, I had the distinct honor and pleasure of being the official event photographer yesterday for the Bailey Baio Foundation, which is a charity run by Scott Baio and his wife Renee Baio. And you'll remember Scott from Happy Days. He played Chachi and then went on to star in Charles in Charge and then just finished a successful three-year run. I'm not sure. I think it was the Cartoon Network or it was a Nickelodeon, how could I get those confused, with his series called See Dad Run. And he and his wife have this great charity foundation that they've got set up that helps kids in need. And they had their first annual Scott Baio golf tournament yesterday up in Woodland Hills at the Country Club Resort kind of a thing. And they had me go out and photograph 108 golfing teams, individual golfers, and their banquet dinner last night. And I will tell you, I don't think I've been so exhausted in a single day in years and years and years, but I had so much fun. I got a chance to meet Marion Ross, of course, played Mrs. Cunningham on Happy Days. I met Donnie Most, who played Ralph Malph. I got to meet Richard Hayes from the Airplane movies, you know, and then he was also in the series Angie, and you know the actor. I was able to see, Rocky Marciano again, who I've met before, the boxer, and lots of other fantastic people. Just a room filled, probably by the time we got ready for the banquet, probably about 250 people were there, if not more. I'd have to do the table count and then remember to go back, but that would not be interesting to you listening to it on the radio as I try to count the number of tables in the room, the number of people at each table, and that would take probably an hour because I'm really slow at math. But a big shout-out to Scott Baio and his wife Renee for a fantastic, record-breaking first annual event. And how can you have record-breaking for a first annual event? I think, well, number one, they oversold or they outsold the golf tournament, number one, and then they just had amazing donations for the silent auction and then also the live auction that took place last night as well. So it was just an outstanding event, great cause, great people, and such a thrill. Now, you'll notice on Facebook, I have not posted any pictures of that. Unlike past events where I have gone at other as guests of other people or has been, you know, invited just to go and, you know, to hang out and bring a camera along, that kind of gives me free rein to do whatever I want with pictures. But when I'm invited and am lending my services to this group, I uploaded all the pictures and then I sent all of the pictures to the Bailey Baio Foundation and they'll be releasing them at their pleasure. So you won't see any posts by me, at least not yet, until they start releasing the pictures and I can share the pictures that they choose to release. So unlike past events where I'm the biggest picture whore around, it's like, look at me with so-and-so, or here are all the pictures that I took. I didn't do that yesterday because that was not my role. So, you know, and it was interesting because I really had the strong urge to come home and, you know, post that picture of Mrs. Cunningham and Ralph Malph singing Happy Birthday to Scott Baio playing Chachi, you know, because it's Scott Baio's 55th birthday today. If that doesn't make you feel old, I don't know what will. And Marion Ross had actually baked him a cake and brought the cake to the ceremony, and that got some, media coverage as well. Very, very cool. That's number one. Number two, I did not do a video of the week for the week because my weekend was crazy. I'd have to go back and figure out what I did, but I didn't have a free moment from Friday until really, you know, today, and today's Tuesday. But one of the things that I will thank a dear friend of mine out in New Jersey and regular listener, Mr. Tony G. in Hackensack. We got to talking about different things that were, you know, we've had guests on and that type of stuff. And he says, why don't you have an Amazon page set up for all of the guests that have been on the show who have stuff that they you know, sell on Amazon, you know, like their CDs and their books and their movies. But okay, and Tony's listening right now, and he just he sent me a picture with himself and Marion Ross. Okay, there we go, Tony. I see you. You look great. And I said, I don't know why I don't have a page like that set up. And he says, well, you know, you should get it set up, and that way everybody that listens to the show, when they're done listening to the show, they can just go to your Amazon page and then buy the CD and download it, or, you know, the DVD or whatever the case is. So I spent most of Sunday getting this great, I'm calling the Rated G Superstar Swag page, because I thought that sounded really cool. So I had it all set up. I had it all organized into all the categories for books and music and CD and subcategories, you know, for like LGBT artists or authors, you know, things like that. And then I get an email back from Amazon saying, well, you set it up wrong, so we can't honor your page. F. So I F'd myself on that, set it off to the side, and about 8 o'clock on Sunday night, I said, I'm going to get this tackled one way or the other. And so I recreated it, made sure I didn't make the same mistakes, and have uploaded that. So you can find the Rated G Radio Superstar Swag page by visiting, and here's the cell. It's so super easy. You can find it in the Garrett Miller group or public group page. We've got like 600 members on there already. You can find it on the Rated G Radio page. And this is all on Facebook. And you can also find it on my page at The Garrett Miller. And if you're not friends with me yet on Facebook, make sure to friend request me, because I will accept your friend request. Just don't be weird. And if I have to explain what weird is to you, then we'll have that conversation. But we're at like 3,200 friends on Facebook, and that number is growing by about 100 to 150 a month. So if you want to be friends with me. I'll enjoy that. But cool stuff. So even like this week, we've got Jace Payne coming up as an LGBT writer. We'll put two of his books on there as material that's there. On Friday, we have Jules Day from Paris, France. Yes, Jules Day. We're going to interview her at 9 a.m. this Friday. And we've got two of her albums up on this Superstar Swag page on Amazon. So I'm really excited to share that with you. Hope that you will take advantage of these opportunities. And now that I've chatted for the whole show, it is my distinct pleasure and honor to bring on Miss Patty Spangler, affectionately known as Trucker Patty, to the show. Patty, how are you?
I am wonderful. I am enjoying life. My little pink tiny house smells like fresh baked bread because I just took a loaf out of my new used oven for the first time.
Yeah, well, okay, so it's been 2 months since we've had you back on the air. Last month you were scheduled to be on, and you were in the middle of this move last month, and you had, like, car issues and all kinds of other things, and bless your heart, you couldn't be here. And so we have 8 weeks of Patty we need to get caught up on that none of us know anything about. So if you're not friends with Patty on Facebook, number one, you should be. Tell the listeners from around the world what's been going on in your life, because you've had a lot of change, and I think it's very exciting.
Yes, and it all happened rather quickly. I have two stepsisters that I was raised with that live in Topeka, and there had been this conversation for a while after I had to retire about me moving to Topeka. I had my nice little trailer set up in a beautiful spot in Missouri, and I knew some people there, and it was comfortable, and but they just kept after me, and my sister made me an offer to buy this little house at a price I could afford, and I just couldn't say no. You know, I've got grandnieces and nephews and other extended family around here, so I finally gave in, and even though moving is my least favorite thing in the world, you would think that when you're living in a trailer, that all you got to do is hook up and move. Well, I also had a storage building with a washer, dryer, and a freezer, and patio furniture, and you know the everything in the trailer had to be fixed up to move, and it was just a lot to do. And go ahead.
I was going to say, so what did you do with the washer and dryer and the freezer and those types of things? Did you take them with you or leave them behind?
No, they came first. A friend and I went back to Missouri with a U-Haul and got a U-Haul trailer. And the building is one of those Rubbermaid ones that comes apart in panels. And so he took the building apart, and we loaded the building and the washer and dryer and patio furniture and all the outside stuff into the back of the U-Haul trailer and hot-footed it back to Topeka. And then my sister and I went back on that the weekend before that, the Tuesdays that I didn't make the show, to hook up the trailer and also bring my car back. Because I have a very, very old 20-plus-year-old pickup truck and a beat-up little Hyundai that looks awful but runs really good. And it was while we were on the way back with that, we got off to a late start. We had some tire problems and a little fender bender. Nobody was hurt. And there wasn't even the only casualty of it was the front license plate on the car. And those were coming off anyway because I had to get Kansas plates, and Kansas doesn't even have a front license plate. But it was a very exhausting and very, very difficult day. And so that was why I was not able to be on the show, and I felt horrible.
Well, no need to feel horrible. I mean, I always say if that's my first world problem of the day, then my life is pretty good. You know, and even though it was a struggle for you for that, point in time, I think really have a neat little outcome that's been happening for you since, you got everything, delivered and you're starting to get set up. Tell everybody what's been happening with that.
Okay, it's been so exciting. This house is 400 square foot and it's 100 years old. And it had been a rental of my sister and her late husband's for many years. And so, with rental houses, especially old ones, you just sort of patch this, that, and the other thing to keep it going for the renters. And it was at a point where there were some issues that needed to be addressed. And it wasn't until we started addressing issues that we discovered there were more issues to address than we first realized. And I had some friends that said, well, why don't you ask for some help? And I said, who am I going to ask for help from? And they said, do a GoFundMe page. And I said, what is that? Oh, it's one of those fundraiser things. And I said, you expect me to ask people to send me money? Are you crazy? Everybody's going to think that I'm some sort of a beggar or something. And I was told by half a dozen people, no, people do this all the time. People like to help. And, I can understand that. When I was making my nice, comfortable income as a truck driver, I was forever throwing $20 here or $50 there and investing in a friend's film project or just, little bits here and there where I had some extra money and I could help. And so I thought, well, okay, I'm just going to swallow my pride because I really could use the help. I'll try it out and see what happens. And it has just been the most uplifting experience for me, not just the money. I mean, I've had people send me $10. I've had people send me $200 and everything in between. And always with wonderful, kind messages that just make me feel so loved. And it's like every time, I've been, pinching every single penny and going to the Habitat for Humanity Restore and flea markets and used furniture places and the bargain bin at Lowe's and spend this money that people are so kindly giving me wisely. But yet doing it in a way so that this is going to be a very comfortable place because it's where I intend to spend the rest of my life. But, I will tell anybody now, if you're in a pinch and you need some help, ask your friend. You may have to swallow your pride a little bit, but it makes them feel good to know, they're not just sending you money, they're sending you love. And so every time I look around, it's something that money's helped me do or helped me buy, I just feel the love.
Well, I love the pictures. We're going to have a love fest, I guess, Patty, but I love the pictures that you posted of your kitchen and your living area earlier today. It looks like you got a white refrigerator, a black stove, and you had that, it looks like the loaf of bread that you're preparing to bake, but it sounds like you've got that baked. So what kind of bread did you make?
It's just, I, it, it's, it's white bread. It's not the most healthiest thing. But I buy the little frozen loaves at the grocery store, and I get the generic Always Save brand because their bread is better than the more expensive. I think the brand name is Rhodes that you can buy frozen dough from. But it makes a small loaf. I cut it in half, put half of it in the freezer, and it works perfect for me. And there's nothing like the way the house smells when you bake a loaf of bread. It's just absolutely wonderful. And it works out to about $1 a loaf.
That's not bad at all. Well, and especially since, you know, you're able to freeze it and, you know, save half of it for later.
Mm-hmm.
Love that. So can you tell me about some of the projects that you have undertaken with your house? Because one, and I know that, you know, I think I relate to you more from the stories about like, oh my gosh, I've got to do this. I will tell you that, you know, if you want to donate to Patty's GoFundMe campaign, again, $1 is great, $5 is great, $500 is great, any amount you can or feel like you want to do, please do so. There's a link on the Rated G Radio page for her campaign right here. And it says support Trucker Patty's GoFundMe campaign for her home repairs. You just click the link and it will take you right to the page. I encourage you to do so. If you are across the pond and want to send some European shekels or pounds or euros to Patty, you can go to GoFundMe.com and just simply look for Patty Spangler. And or support Trucker Patty, I guess is what Trucker Patty's Topeka tiny house. So please do so. And it looks like you've got a goal of $2,000 on there currently, and it looks like you're about 75% of the way there. You got $1,460. So congratulations on the people, you know, kind of just diving in and helping you out. That's really cool. So when you got this place, what was one of the, you know, cause you said that your sister had kind of band-aided it up for the renters and things like that. What are some of the projects that you've had to undertake, Patty?
Okay, all of the floor, the kitchen and the bathroom are at the back of the house. All of those floors had to be rebuilt underneath. The floor joists were bad. And so everything was taken out of the bathroom and the kitchen except for the built-in kitchen cabinet that's in there. So all those floors were redone, new subfloors, and the plumbing was functional, but it was old and brittle. So we replaced it with the new PEX stuff, which is a kind of a flex hose type stuff. You know, doing all the repairs and everything we're doing with the goal that I'm going to be spending hopefully the next, you know, 30 or 40 years. I expect to live to be 100. I beat cancer, so, you know, I'm going to be around annoying people for a long time. And so I expect to live in this house for the rest of my life. So that's, you know, we've been that goal. My sister put a new roof on the house. I guess the front part had been done, but the back part still needed to be finished. Everything has been repainted. The kitchen and the living room ceilings were redone, refinished, and crown molding. And my kitchen is so quirky. It has exposed ductwork, which gives it a little bit of an industrial look. And the furnace is open to where you can see it in the corner of the kitchen. And I have an antique sink base that I have painted purple, which is my favorite color. And my sister redid some of the porcelain spots had to be touched up, and she redid that. And, you know, I'm going with the goal of everything being cute, quirky, and very functional. We have a lot of shelving to put up because that is the whole key of living tiny is you've got to be very creative with your storage. And so a lot of that is yet to be done. I'm using, I've got a camping table for an end table and an old computer desk for another end table and little bits and pieces. I'm going to look for that stuff at yard sales. And, you know, we had an amazing opportunity the other day. A friend of a friend has been working in a building in downtown Topeka, and there were a bunch of leftover supplies. And a lot of the stuff was things that my sister could use, because she has several rental houses. That's how she gets her income, is from her rental properties. And just different wood and molding and other sort of construction items and things like that. But I found three little metal chairs with fabric bottoms and backs that I'm going to re-chrome and then redo the seats so that I've got chairs for the little table I'm going to have in the kitchen, and a beautiful, long, probably 6-foot plank that I'm going to sand and stain and use it to go under the living room window to put plants on. And just all sorts of stuff like that. It, you know, there's no art or anything, because you don't have spaces for things like that in the trailer. So I'm going to be collecting little bits and pieces as I go along. People keep wanting to see pictures, so I keep posting things, and it reminds me how bare everything looks and how disarrayed, because, you know, in a tiny house, everything has to have a place to live. That's how you survive. You can't have chaos or, you know, everything looks icky.
Well, I mean, I completely relate to the tiny house syndrome. I've gone from, you know, the big McMansion to a space that's probably similar in size, or at least concept, you know, from where you're at, Patty. And I'll tell you, you are absolutely correct about everything has to have its place. And if you have one thing out of place, it's just a complete disaster. Not to get off topic, but I've had authors that are wanting to send me their books, or artists that want to send me their CDs for, you know, being on the show. And it's like, please, I beg of you, I need you to send it to me electronically. I don't have room for one more book. You would think one more CD would be certainly welcome in my collection. I don't have room. I think I've got like 7 CDs total, and I've got, I don't know, 10 books. And, you know, everything else, I just said, I don't have space for it, because if I just let it start stacking up, it looks like I'm on an episode of Hoarders, because I just don't have the space anymore. So you're totally right on with that. So how long do you think it's going to take? And, you know, it's going to be your place. You're going to live there for 40 years. But how long do you think it's going to take before you know, kind of have all the home improvement projects done?
Most of the major things, except I found out that I'm going to have to upgrade the electric sooner than I wanted to. It doesn't have the old knob and tube. That had been upgraded probably in the 50s. But the panel is outdated, and there was a problem with the 220 plug when we went to plug in. I have a stackable washer and dryer, and it has just the one 220 plug, and the 220 part isn't working. And getting somebody to come in and install a new plug with an old panel, sometimes you can get it done and sometimes you can't get it done. So I may have to spend somewhere between $600 and $1,000 to redo the electric panel. That was a surprise that I knew at some point in the future I was going to have to address, but didn't think it was something I was going to have to deal with now. So that's kind of the big thing. There's some outdoor stuff, some fascia things. We need to get some fascia boards up and some trim painting. I found an awesome pair of white shutters that I'm going to paint purple to put on the outside of my one window in the front, and I need to get a window box to go under the window because the shutters are a little long and you want to make it look like it belongs the way it is. You know, so there's lots of things like that to keep me busy. I do have a functioning bathroom with my beautiful faucet tub that my sister redid. And so the bathroom is functioning, everything in the kitchen is functioning except for the washer and dryer, and so me and the fur babies are living in the house, and it's comfortable, and it's just, you know, I have to take it easy because of my health problems, and it just galls me to sit down and relax, because every time I try to sit down and relax, I see something that needs to be done.
It's never going to change, Patty. I mean, you could have everything done, and you're going to sit down finally one day and go, oh, I need to do that too.
But, you know, you're talking about your electronic storage. This 400-square house is actually an upgrade for me, because I was in a 250-square-foot, you know, 30-foot with a slide-out travel trailer. And, you know, my Nook was the best thing in the world to happen to me when I was driving truck, because there were paperbacks all over the inside of my 70-inch sleeper. And so a few years ago when I got rid of my house, I had, oh, God, I must have had 2,000 books, and I got rid of all of my books and, you know, and managed to find the dear ones and load them into the Nook. And then when something new comes out, I just put it in the Nook. And so that's been really, really handy. But there's going to be shelves all above. I have a little electric fireplace with the TV on it, and there'll be shelves all above that for all of my movies and things, because I do have a few of those from being in the truck as well. And just lots of little things. But, you know, I tell you, one of the best things about this is the fact that I've learned a little something about raising money, and I'm going to try to parlay that into something to help the community. What I'm hoping to do, you know, I had mentioned on Facebook about a nonprofit and was told how difficult it is to set that up, but what I'm going to do is I want to find other transgender people who are in my situation, especially the ones who are living what we refer to as stealth, meaning that they don't want people to know they're transgender because they still have a lot of fear. I lived that way for more than 25 years myself. And I want to find a way to parlay this fundraising for me into finding other individuals that are struggling and figure out a way to raise money to help them do little projects. And I'm not sure yet how I'm going to make that happen. If you want to send me suggestions on Facebook, anybody, I'm you know, open to anything. But, you know, I've been on this, you know, intersex and transgender understanding and awareness campaign for over a year now, you know, teaching my gay and lesbian friends about what it means to be transgender. And that has been so wonderful and so successful, you being a prime example of that little undertaking of mine, that, you know, I'm starting to develop a new passion and a new focus, and, you know, something that I can take all this love that has been given to me, getting me settled in my little tiny house, to figure out a way to help other people. And so I'm really, really excited about that. I have no idea where that journey is going to take me, but, you know, they say that the destination is not where the payoff is. It's definitely the journey, and I'm looking forward to what's ahead.
Well, let's do this. Let's take a little commercial break first, and then we're going to come back and talk to more with Trucker Patty about transgender issues, and it's Transgender Tuesday. If you are trans and would like to call in and share your story or ask a question, or if you're just even curious about something, call in. 323-657-1493 is the hotline. We're live for another half an hour. I'm on the Blog Talk chat room, so you can go into there. Or you can also pop a question to me on Facebook. Just private message me. I've got a ton of people who are pinging me right now saying they're listening to the show. So do that. But we're going to be back in just 1 minute right after this short break. Right back with more Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
When it comes to coffee, freshness is queen. That's why Rainbow Brew believes you should have the freshest coffee, roasted to order in small batches and delivered to your door within a couple days. Whether you're purchasing for a coffee shop, restaurant, or home, Rainbow Brew is your one-stop shop for fair trade and organic coffee. Offering many unique blends, including AM 950's own Blue State blend. That's Rainbow Brew, the queen bean, a proud sponsor of the Morning Grind. Online at rainbowbrew.com. Brew something good today.
So that's our little sponsorship from this little company that could out of Minneapolis, St. Paul, Rainbow Brew. And I'm fascinated that they can grow coffee beans in Minneapolis, St. Paul. That makes no sense to me whatsoever, but I think that is the coolest thing ever. And they have several different flavors, and they grind the beans or they'll send the beans whole to you either way, and they ship it like the same day you place the order. So if you would like some coffee, you know, I bring this up because, you know, we get into the holiday season and everybody wants to get really cool gifts for their friends or family this year, and you're like, well, I don't know what to get, you know, because last year we gave Aunt Mildred a fruit cake, and this week, you know, or this year we don't want to give her that same fruit cake, and I don't want to give her this because, you know, whatever. Try checking out some of the guests who have been on the show or the sponsors like Rainbow Brew. If you're watching the little slide presentation that comes on the Blog Talk Radio format, there's a bunch of companies that are helping Rated G Radio in there, including Miles High Productions. They have just amazing guests that Chip sends over my way and we get to have on the Friday Night Dance Party, or sometimes it's other nights of the week, and so on and so forth. So, you know, check it out. Carol Sweets Jewelry, you know, she donates all of her, well, I say all of her, but she's made some really nice jewelry pieces for me, some of which have not even made it out onto the picture screen yet because I'm really saving them for special events that I can really showcase and give her some props. But I want to give shout outs to everybody who's supporting the show. And that kind of goes back to what Patty was saying, that, you know, she's created this GoFundMe page to help really do some basic, you know, home repairs to this fantastic new place that she wants to live out her rest of her life. I say live out her days, like you got a week, Patty. But, you know, Patty, you're planning to be there 40 years, and you just wants it right. You know, you might as well do it right when you get in there, get through the inconvenience a little bit, and then just have it done so you don't have to worry about it later. So I think your GoFundMe page is really cool. Listeners who are listening tonight and or watching the show on YouTube, go to Patty's GoFundMe page and, you know, give a $10 or $20. You know, I always say it's Patty, it's very interesting to me, you know, and I say this as a musical artist as well. People will go and spend, you know, $10 a day or $20 a day at Starbucks, or they'll go, you know, have some crappy hamburger at the drive-through, or, you know, something like that, and they don't think twice about it. But then you say, you know, can you spend, you know, $10 to buy an album that you can listen to for the rest of your life? And they're like, oh, geez, you know, I just don't know if I want to really spend the money and invest in that. That's what we do on Rated G Radio, is we feature mostly independent artists, you know, authors, storytellers, you know, filmmakers and things like that, where $10 makes a world of difference. Sometimes that, you know, helps keep the light on. And in the case, you know, for what you're sharing with the world, it just helps keep a safe roof over your head. So I'm a big fan of helping people that want to, you know, help themselves, and you're clearly doing that. Now you want to help others. Before the break, you were talking a little bit about the desire that you have to go and help other people in the trans community with maybe, you know, similar types of projects. If you lived in a perfect world, what would that type of organization look like to you?
What it would look like to me would be finding someone to showcase who is in a position of needing some help, and sharing their story if they were willing, because, you know, I'm still all about this awareness and understanding. And the more that people understand the transgender community, the far better off the community will be. And this year has just exploded, you know, between Caitlyn Jenner and Jazz, the 14-year-old that has the show on TLC, and Becoming Us, and Jeffrey Tambor just, you know, won an Emmy for his show, and so much attention on the transgender community, positive attention. But you hear about all these glamorous things, and, you know, the television shows and the beautiful people, you know, like Candace Cain and Laverne Cox. But there's not a whole lot about the average transgender person, most of whom are definitely struggling because there's no protections by law for them in most places. You know, if you're not fortunate enough, as I have been so fortunate my whole life as a woman to pass as one without any problems. Many do have problems passing, and it makes their life very difficult until we actually have a trans-inclusive ENDA in place. There are a lot of trans people that live in fear. And so, you know, if I can mix the understanding and awareness along with helping people who are in real need, you know, that would be my perfect world. And the fact that, you know, I had to swallow my pride and ask for some help, if I could parlay that, you know, into, you know, helping other people would be the most wonderful thing in the world. And, you know, it's interesting talking about the $10 here and $20 there. I actually started my campaign off saying, if you're the kind of person that can go spend $100 on dinner or $1,000 on an outfit, you're the person I want to send me money. If you can't afford to do that, don't send me any money. And I got all sorts of feedback on that. What the heck are you doing? There's all sorts of people out there that would feel so good about sending you $10 or $20, and you're depriving of them doing that by saying you only want money from rich people. And, you know, I sat there and I thought about that for a little while and thought about when I had a better income, all the places that I had sent $20 or $50 to, and sort of made sense to me. So I reworded the campaign and said, hey, you know, let the love fest begin. I'll take whatever you want to send me. And like I say, it went from starting off as a little humiliating for me to, you know, one of celebration now. I mean, I feel so good about the way this campaign has gone and the messages that I've gotten people and the love that people have shown me that, you know, I just want to pass that on to other people.
Well, I love your bravado. I love the fact that you want to do such a huge undertaking. Patty, I'm going to just ask you this. Do you realize kind of like the scope of what you're envisioning here? Or what scope do you really see this at, like from either a local or national or even international level?
I see it as starting off as any good, sensible person does with anything, with baby steps. If I can find one person to start off helping and see where that goes and move on to another person and see where that goes, you know, I don't want to look too far ahead. I don't want to think about, you know, things getting real complicated because I'm smart, but I'm not that smart. And so, you know, that's the whole point. You know, if it were to blossom into something huge, and then I'm sure that people that were more qualified to handle something like that could take over. That would be the most amazing thing in the world. If I can help 5 people in the next year, that would be equally as awesome. Like I said, it's the journey, and it's making your life count for something. I am a serial survivor. You know, anybody who's interested in things that have gone on in my life, they can go to Trucker Patty at blogspot.com and read my blog, where, you know, I've been pretty revealing about, you know, what it was like to transition in the 70s and some of the things that I've went through in my early life. And like I said, I am a cancer survivor, and I'm dealing now with fibromyalgia and chronic pain and that type of thing. And, you know, you can do one of two things. You can sit around and feel sorry for yourself, or you can make lemonade out of the lemons. And I just choose to make lemonade. You know, we have no control over what life throws at us. The only thing we have control of is how we react to it. And if I can figure out a way to react to it in a good way, well, then I'm, you know, 5 steps ahead of the next guy.
I love everything that you're talking about, Patty. I think this is so cool. And the fact that you have this, you know, revolutionary vision of what you want to do to help others as you're helping yourself, I'm just so in awe of. If you could see me, I'm sitting here bowing down to you right now saying, thank you, Patty. How do you – And I've never put together a nonprofit before or a group to help others before. And it's interesting that you're talking about this tonight, because while the show is going, I've also got a young friend of mine in the San Diego area. His name is Evan Pickens. And for about a year and a half, I've been trying to get Evan to be on the show, because he runs this group called Helping Bags. And what he does is he gathers, like a sandwich, a piece of fruit, and a bottle of water, and a pair of socks, and puts it in a lunch bag. And he goes around San Diego and finds people that are homeless, and he gives them, you know, basically a meal and, some chapstick and, you know, toothpaste and things like that, just to, you know, get them going. And he's been trying to figure out how to get a nonprofit going to help that segment in his community. He just feels so passionate about it. And he started another project to get bottled water out to people in the San Diego area last year as well. While we're sitting here talking tonight, he pings me and says, hey, I've got a new person for the face of the company, and they're going to be the person that's finally going to do your radio interview. So, they've sent this person over to me, you know, while the show is live tonight. And I thought, how ironic that we have, you know, this group that I've been trying to get on for, you know, a period of time coming on, and we finally now have this locked down on the same night that I have Patty on the line, and she's talking about trying to figure out how to help others as well. I am just so I'm so down with people who want to help other people and just kind of lift the collective spirit up. Do you think, where would you even start from, like, because I would assume it probably takes, I haven't done it, so I don't know. I'm just kind of rambling here. Do you, like, need to create a website? Do you need to get, like, $1 million? I mean, what's kind of like the first three or four things that you need to do?
I have a plan. My first plan, and if there's anybody out there listening that lives in and around Topeka or Kansas City, which is just an hour away from Topeka, you know, friend me on Facebook. If you know somebody in the area that's in the LGBTQ community, you know, friend me on Facebook. Let me know who you are, because after I get settled, it's like I say, you know, it takes me 10 times as long to do things with my disabilities as it does other people. You know, that is so frustrating. You know, a couple years ago I was ziplining, you know, in the Caribbean with the DNR cruisers, and, you know, things have happened to me. And so it takes me a while to do things. But once I finally get myself settled in the house, and, you know, I still have one more thing left to do. I have to go get my Kansas driver's license. I've gotten the plates on the vehicles done and found a new regular healthcare provider, and, you know, just all those things that you have to do when you move. I'm finally getting those accomplished. And once I get more settled into the house, my first job is to connect with the LGBTQ community here in Topeka. And I am going to start there, and I am going to start with one person. So anybody of you who will be following me on Facebook, just keep your eyes on my Facebook. And, you know, it may take me a few weeks or a couple of months, but before long I will be posting something on there about, you know, something that I have found that I can do to get this thing rolling. But be patient with me, because, like I say, it takes me a while. But, you know, we can talk about this every Transgender Tuesday of every month. And, you know, like I say, I welcome suggestions. I feel so fortunate that you have me on every month. It's something that is definitely a highlight that I look forward to. And, my gosh, the image of somebody that looks like you bowing down, Garrett, I don't know.
Well, bless your heart. But I am, in all sincerity, you know, I really am just in awe of you. So I will tell you that I think it's just it's great what you're doing. And anything that I can do to help support you or raise awareness in my little part of this universe here, it's my pleasure and honor to work with you in any way that I can. So if you think of something else that I can do to help you or the transgender community, you say the word, and I will, if it's within my power, I will make it happen. But can I go back in for just a second here, because you've moved from Missouri to Kansas, big move in all in itself. One of the things that you've talked about in the past, and I would assume that is probably going to be coming up again. And you went from one small community to, well, Topeka is probably a large city, but compared to Los Angeles, it's, you know, a small city. But in the great Topeka, Kansas area, you in the past have written articles about the transgender community and aging and also healthcare and finding physicians and doctors and you know, supportive medical people in the community. Are you, or have you found the right doctor for you yet?
Yes, actually, I have found a physician's assistant here, and I feel extremely fortunate because fibromyalgia is something that not a lot of healthcare providers understand. I was diagnosed with it originally back when I was in my 30s, and it's something that started off as I had these little areas you call hot spots where if somebody pushed on it would be like I was getting stuck with the red hot poker. And it's progressed as I've aged into joint pain and a general achiness. It's almost kind of like that feeling you have when you're just starting to come down with the flu. And then I also suffer fatigue from it. But because it's still not as well known as those of us who suffer from it would like it to be, finding a healthcare professional that actually knows something about it is a score. And then somebody who is also interested in having a transgender patient and also someone like me who is intersex as well is another huge score in an area like Topeka that's kind of in the heartland. My God, Fred Phelps and his church are here.
Oh, my God. I didn't even think about that.
Oh, yes, Westboro Baptist Church is just on the other side of town, but they have a lovely, lovely rainbow house right across the street from their church. I posted pictures of it before. I'll have to go take some more pictures and post it. Now, I believe it was a gay man decided that, you know, he wanted to smack the Phelps family in the face, so he bought this house across the street from the church and painted it rainbow. It's just adorable.
Well, I've seen the house, but I'm going to tell you, as adorable as that house is, Patty, I'm going to task you with homework. When you go to this house and when you get ready to take that picture, I want you to go knock on the door and see if the homeowners are home and see if you can get somebody else to take a picture of you and the homeowners in front of that house and then post that picture on Facebook. I would love that. And if that's not doable, then anybody who's passing by, flag them down and have them take your picture in front of their house.
I think I can do something like that. Maybe I'll do a little bit of because there have been articles about it, and I'll see if there's a way that I can contact the people that live there without, you know, just surprising them and banging on their door and see what I can accomplish along those lines. But I'll get something done here in the next couple months. And at the very least, I'll drag my sister over there with me and have her take a picture of me standing
see?
In front of the house.
Yes, I would love that. That will be so, so cool.
Oh. Yeah. I'll get something accomplished along those lines. But finding health care for transgender people, especially ones who are living stealth. There were many years that I did not allow doctors to know that I was transgender. And I would sometimes not even go. I mean, the minute I had somebody start talking about going in for a pap smear, it was like, okay, time to go find somebody else because I'm not going to a gynecologist. I went to one of those a few years after I'd had my surgery in 82 when I lived in California. My insurance was with Kaiser Permanente, and it was time for me to go in and have my first gynecological exam. And because I was such an oddity, the gynecologist that I went to at Kaiser decided this would be a great opportunity to have some interns observe my new private part. Only he did not say anything to me about it. So there I was in the exam room up in the stirrups, and in comes six interns with this doctor. And I was just so mortified. And so, yeah, it can be really, really tough for trans people to find, you know, somebody to take care of their healthcare needs.
Well, I think one of the things that just, you know, has me concerned a little bit, you know, especially when you're saying I'm moving to a new place or whatever. But I love the fact that you found this dynamic and fantastic person that you're going to be working with. So that is really, really cool. What else is happening in the trans community? I say selfishly because I love talking to you, Patty. So it's like every month it's kind of like, you know, Patty and I get to go out for coffee, except where she's in Topeka and I'm in California, you know, and just kind of play catch up and you all get to sit in and listen. But what else is happening in the trans community this month that we should be aware of? Do we want to talk about the last couple of episodes of I Am Kate?
I haven't seen them yet because I had to record them. So I'm behind on I Am Kate. I know that they recently had the season finale, and it's the same thing with Jazz too. They're on my DVR. I have not had a chance to watch them. I have been so tied up with everything that's going on here. I'm embarrassed to say I don't know what's going on in the transgender community at large at the moment. Usually I try to keep pretty up on things, but this has been a rather trying period of my life.
Well, I would say that will be probably the understatement of the year. So now that you've gotten moved, what do the fur kids think about this whole new thing that's going on?
Well, my sister, who I have two sisters here. I have one who lives across the street, and I have another one who lives out in the country. And I see her regularly too because her grandchildren live in the house next to my sister. And so I get to see them both on a regular basis. But my sister, who's across the street, whose home I stayed in for a month before I could move into my house, has two dogs. And so the four of them basically drove the two of us crazy while we were all together in her house. And so Gidget and Gizmo love living here. Every day or every other day, I take them across the street to go visit their cousins, and they all go in the backyard and they run around and play and have a wonderful time. I'm having problems with my little one-year-old Gidget, though, because if I'm not watching her carefully and I open the front door, she will shoot like a rocket out the door across the street and try and get into my sister's house. And fortunately, this is a very quiet neighborhood. It's like an oasis in the city limits. It's an area of maybe 8 square blocks of all older houses that are in various states of, you know, some of them look fantastic, some of them could use a little work, but they're all lower income, but people know people here. It's a very safe place to be, and so there's not a lot of traffic, but that doesn't mean that she couldn't get hit doing that. So, you know, that's the biggest concern I have at the moment. I've become very careful that when I open the door.
Well, your babies are just too cute to let anything happen to. So do you think you'll have to do any type of like would they jump over like a dog gate or something like that, like a real small one that, you know, like you and I would just step over?
Gidget might, but I think it's more just getting her. I mean, we've only been living in the house for 2 weeks.
Right.
So it's just, I'm just paying very, very close attention. And here within another month or so, we should have most of my backyard is fenced in. There's a couple of areas that we need to put some fencing up. And so they'll have their own fenced-in backyard where I can just open the back door and they can run out there and run around by themselves. But I think as she, you know, gets more used to the idea that this is home, not across the street, that I think it will be better.
Well, everybody, it's been our pleasure to have our monthly recurring VIP guest superstar. You now have that title, Patty.
Has it been an hour already, Carrot? I can't believe how the time flies.
It's been an hour. Well, I'm going to do a shameless self-promotion for my song, Gay Wedding. And we're
I hope so. I love it. I listen to that CD in my car all the time. I think it's permanently in my CD player.
Good. Keep it there and tell everybody else to go out and buy it. So, but before we do that, I want to just sincerely thank you for taking time to talk with us about your journey. You know, some months we have stuff that's, you know, going on in Hollywood or the media, but I think really for people who are listening, I think the more interesting story, and not that those stories aren't interesting because they do make for a fun conversation, but I think the more interesting story that we get a chance to hear each month is what it's like for you, a transgendered person who is one of my dear friends who lives life like everybody else. You know, you got a pain in the back, you got to paint the, you know, the walls, you got to rewire the house, you got to, you know, live on a budget, and you've got to do all these things. And you do so creatively and with such spirit that I really, truly admire you for all that you do all the time. And I know life sometimes isn't all that fantastic, and you know, sometimes it kind of sucks a little bit, but I will tell you, you do it with a smile, and I admire you greatly for that. So that's number one. Number two, go support Trucker Patty's GoFundMe campaign. You know, she's not looking to do something silly like I'm going to be doing a music video and asking people to donate for that. This is for her home to help her live a comfortable life for the next 40 years, maybe 50 or 60, but you know, however long she wants to hang around, and getting all of the essentials taken care of correctly so she has a safe and secure place to live. If you can donate, you know, $5, $10, $100, $500, that would be great. I think her goal is $2,000, and right now she's at $1,460, so she's very close. You could put her over the top of her goal tonight by checking that out. Patty, any last words before I let you go, my dear?
Just thank you for being my friend. Thank you for all your support.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
This is, like I said, this is something I look forward to every month. It's always nice to feel like you have a voice, like what you do matters, and you always make me feel like what I do matters. And, you know, life is what you make of it. Like I said, you know, you have the choice of how you react. And, you know, if you react badly, those are the results you're going to get.
That's it. Patty, until next month, in the month of October, we'll be, I don't know, I have the date in front of me. I was looking at it earlier, but we'll have you back next month. Everybody else will be back live tomorrow. Today, I love this week of the month because now I've got, like, my guests, I've kind of, like, got in alignment. It just kind of happened by dumb luck, I will tell you that, Patty. So today is Transgender Tuesday, and tomorrow I've got my good friend Rob Watson, and we call, anytime Rob is on the show, Super Gay Radio! So tomorrow on Wednesday, following Transgender Tuesday, it's Super Gay Radio with Rob Watson. So I can't wait to have you back. He's got he's the author of all of these, A Gay Dad, and he writes a letter to whatever, you know, thing is going on. And he has a brand new article out inviting the Pope to his house for a Friday night dinner to see what it's like to have dinner with a gay dad with two sons at a gay household. So check out the show tomorrow night. I would love for you to be there with us. If you have questions or want to comment, good or bad, you can call up and tell me, you know, you think the show stinks. But if you love the show, even better. I'll give you a quarter if you do that. Call in at 323-657-1493. That's the hotline, Monday through Friday. Again, love having you here on Rated G Radio. Patty, thank you so much. Here's a little snippet of Gay Wedding. If you would like to buy it, it's available on iTunes, Amazon, and wherever fine music is downloadable. It's a pleasure to have you here. We'll see you live on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Second to no one.
One, two, one.
Hey, Mr. Our time has come. Hey, Mr. marry your true love. Hey, Mr. hot bun. It's a not safe to start again. It's a not safe. sister, sister, now you have the right. Hey, sister, sister, she can be your wife. Hey, sister, sister, true love. Hey, sister, sister, go on, take her hand. Hey, sister, sister, true love. It's a nice day to start again. It's a nice day for a gay way. It's a nice day to start again.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.